It takes more than adding a Slackbot rule to correct every mention of Linux to, did you mean GNU/Linux? To be a great engineer. This is episode 400 of the Soft Skills Engineering Podcast. I'm your host, Jameson Dance.
I'm your host, Dave Smith.
Soft Skills Engineering is a weekly advice show about all the non-technical stuff that goes into the technical field of software development, like being pedantic about Linux.
GNU's not Unix, and Linux is not just Linux. Linux is just a kernel, Jameson.
If you had this rule, wouldn't it correct itself recursively because it says GNU/Linux?
And that would be the most that would be the most wonderful poetic implementation.
Yeah, it would fit.
It's so beautiful.
It would fit.
So beautiful.
That episode also that intro also constitutes our celebration for episode 400.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. Enjoy it.
We really pulled out all the stops for this one.
Yes.
Congrats, Jameson. I want to say to you, congratulations.
Thank you.
You are the only person on earth who has tolerated recording 400 podcast episodes with me.
Same for you.
Yeah.
It's a great accomplishment to put up with it.
It is. It shows we have amazing patience, stamina, tolerance, thick skin,
kindness, humility.
Charity for those that are dumber than us. Wait,
yes.
Who are we talking about now? I got confused.
I think we're both talking about each other wisely.
I have nothing but gratitude for 400 episodes with you. But I also don't want to make all of our readers, I mean listeners, throw up too much right now. So maybe we should move on.
All right, let's do it.
This episode is sponsored by an amazing podcast called Red Hat Compiler. Tune in on your favorite podcasting app after this episode, and we'll tell you more about them later.
I want to thank our patrons. Thank you to E4, E5, King E2, King E7, which, if I'm not mistaken, is some kind of checkers joke. Dan from Drone Deploy, Chase W. Norton, TypeHero.dev. Never is not just a crater on Mars, flamingo emoji. I like chicken. Oh my gosh, I can't say words today. I like chicken, I like liver, meow mix, please deliver. Trash Panda, thecomputersciencebook.com, Valentin at Datafold, Santa Hopar, Kent C. Dodds, Jenny Kim, Owen Shardle, Craig Motlin, the Stochastic Parrot, patreon.com, we're hiring, Ira Chan, Jonathan King, WebTow, Awesome End Testing, The Unsettling Nature of Not Knowing the Content at WilliamAngel.net, Travis Braden Keynes, John Grant, and Every Time Dave Laughs, a New JavaScript Framework is Born.
Oh, man. Oh, there's a lot more JavaScript frameworks than my laughs, though, I gotta say. There must be something else.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Up the jolly factor.
By the way, for those of you who are members of the illustrious crew, we want you to know we have fully automated our Patreon name integration. So every week, you could change your name on Patreon every week if you wanted to.
Mm.
And we would update every week. It used to be monthly, used to be manual. No. We've come into the 2025th century. Wait, that's not right. I got that totally wrong. We're 24% into the 21st century. How's that?
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. And we're automated. So thanks so much for these awesome Patreon names. They really get me.
They do. They show how clever and wise you are, in addition to what good judgment you have to support the show.
Yeah, clearly.
If you want to join this group, you can go to softskills.audio and click support us on Patreon. And any amount will get you an invite to our Slack team. And any amount above the threshold will allow you to test out Dave's automation.
Yes.
Find interesting ways to break it.
Oh, great idea. If I don't see an SQL injection attack attempt in next week's Patreon, I'm going to be disappointed.
Is there like a Trello injection attack?
Yeah. Dave Jameson, don't reveal the secret of our internal
tooling. Oh, no. I mean,
Jira.
We use a different box that contains boxes yes. to track things.
Oh, boy. Well.
All right. Dave, there's another very special card in here in our maybe Trello thing.
Yes.
It says, happy birthday to Dave.
Yes. This episode is airing on my birthday. Episode 400. Happy birthday to me. That's my present.
It was weird that you planned that out so many years ago for the, 10 years from now, I want...
In the spring of 2016, I hatched a plan, and today it came together.
The long con. Yeah. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you.
What do you want for your birthday?
400 more episodes of Soft Skills Engineering.
All right. Let's get to it.
Okay.
Do you want to read our first question?
Yes, I do. Okay. This comes from an anonymous listener who says... I am a junior software engineer who has been placed in charge of a handful of graduates and interns who have joined my team. The project is fairly technical. For the first 2 weeks, the new starters were pair programming. That went well, and after talking to each new starter, they were eager to start working individually. We're 1 month in, and I'm concerned about the performance of one of the engineers. Morgan, fake name, has completed a degree from a good university we often hire from, but appears to lack any knowledge of software development. As a result, Morgan seems to struggle with researching and working through problems beyond following tutorials. I got the impression that while pair programming, Morgan didn't contribute much. Is there anything I could do to give Morgan the boost needed to start rolling? I'm sure I could spoon-feed Morgan, but it would monopolize my time when I'm already spending time with the other new starters on top of my own tasks. I want to give Morgan a shot, but I don't know what to do. At what point do I tell my manager about my concerns? Then, just to reiterate the kind of concerns here we have, the listener wrote in with 6 bullet points, and I'll just read a few. When told to insert a colon to fix a syntax error, Morgan didn't know what a colon was. Morgan has never heard about concurrency. The last issue Morgan worked on required reading some source code. Even after explanation, Morgan didn't understand how to find the calling ancestor of a given function. Morgan wanted to do some DevOps, having done some at university, but Morgan doesn't appear to understand Docker at all. Morgan said they studied React at university, but has demonstrated a lack of understanding to write React code. So... basic, I guess the point of those bullets is basic stuff. Even all these issues in aggregate would be fine with me, but the continual resemblance of and behavior of a stunned mullet isn't encouraging. What is that a reference I don't get? A stunned mullet?
I don't quite get it either.
Yeah, I worry that I've said something offensive with stunned mullet, but I guess I don't know. Anyway, last sentence. After being told to research a concept, Morgan must be told a specific Google query to type in. Thanks and apologies for the long question. Okay. Whew. I have a stunned mullet right now, I think.
I haven't had a haircut in a long time, so if you stunned me enough, maybe you could like shape it into a mullet. Maybe
okay.
That's what it is.
All right, I got it. Like a stunned mullet is an Australian or English phrase meaning dazed and uncomprehending. I believe it is not offensive.
Okay.
Whew.
Australian, huh?
Australian and British.
I choose to believe this is Australian because
okay.
That just feels more delightful.
More exciting and fun.
Yeah. I want to give Morgan a shot. I mean, it sounds like you did. I don't know.
It sounds to me like you are about to start an unwitting 2-year computer science program in your spare time where you are the professor and the TA and you've got one student. And that student's name is Morgan.
Yeah. I'm sure I could spoon feed Morgan, but I wouldn't monopolize my time. Yeah, I think the time to tell your manager is now. I mean, if they're an intern, then part of the point of that is to try to evaluate, do you want them to come on full time? So I'm assuming there's some sort of official evaluation feedback thing as part of this. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it depends on how internships work there. But at the very least, you probably want to not spend a lot of your time investing in this person if it looks like you would have to invest so much that it would never pay back. And like, assuming they learn all the stuff you teach them, do you want to keep teaching them stuff, like you said, Dave, for years longer? I think the answer is no.
I mean, look, we don't know what's in this person's heart. The answer could be, I've always wanted to be a teacher. But I always wanted a developer salary and a teacher's job. Well, guess what? You got it.
That's true. It's probably way easier and way higher paying.
Uh-huh. And you only
have one student. To be a developer paid to teach one person than to be an actual teacher.
It's perfect.
Yeah. You've unlocked the secret. Continue resemblance. Morgan must be told the specific Google query to type in. Ooh.
Oh, boy.
That is... maybe the most damning part of all
yes,
of this is
it's so painful.
So you don't know stuff. I don't know stuff. Morgan doesn't know stuff. I at least hope I would know how to Google what is thing X.
What is a colon?
And how do I use it? Yeah, what is a colon? And then you have to then hurriedly delete it and say, what is a colon in programming languages?
Yeah, and then clear history.
Yes.
I'm going to do this search in incognito mode.
I've learned to do all my work-related searches. Yeah, in incognito.
And I mean, I have two reasons. One is I asked what a colon was and got some nasty images. But the other reason is I don't want anyone knowing I had to search what a colon was.
Yeah, I mean, imagine this doesn't get corrected, right? Like, at least now it is, if this person is an intern, there should be a strong expectation that there's a lot of stuff they don't know. But they should also, if they're a great intern, should be good at figuring out stuff that they don't know. Because most of the things they're going to do are things they don't know. So I don't know a way to say this besides say you need to either de-internize this intern, whatever process that is, to end the internship, or just like cut them off so that you don't invest more time. You shouldn't be rude or unkind, but if there's some legal reason or cultural reason why you don't want to just can some intern, maybe it doesn't work somehow.
In Australia.
Then you need to make sure you don't spend any of your time in this thing that won't return it to you. It sounds so callous and cold when I say it that way.
Yeah, you're terrible, Jameson. I can't believe that you would suggest that someone should be terminated for trying to do a job that they don't have the skills to do.
Yeah. Well,
you have no heart.
I know.
I'm only saying
they should do instead.
Okay, I'm only saying it because it's my birthday, and that's the one day of the year I'm allowed to be a total jerk to everyone.
Finally, you can be truly honest.
Yes, happy birthday to me. Here come the insults. That's my gift to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, the bottom line here is Morgan got a job that Morgan can't do. And like this happens all the time. Imagine if I tried to go get a job as a brain surgeon, and by some miracle I got through the hiring process, and I show up in the operating room, and it's like, I don't actually know where the brain is exactly. Do I go in through the nose or the ear? And they're like, neither, sir. What are you doing? I'm like, I need to quit this job right away. And that leads me to my next point, which is, of everyone in this situation who is acutely aware of Morgan's underperformance, probably the most acutely aware is Morgan. And Morgan probably feels terrible. And I think it's worth sitting down. This is probably not something I would have done when I was a junior engineer, but I would be okay to sit down now with Morgan and just be like, Morgan, how's this job going for you? And don't be surprised when Morgan breaks down and cries in front of you, because this is probably very stressful.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back to your brain surgery analogy. Maybe you've done a lot of Play-Doh. You're like, this is kind of the same, right?
I studied Play-Doh.
There's like the pink gooey stuff somewhere that you turn into ice cream, I believe.
Wait, hold on. Pause the operation for a minute. Can someone bring me an iPad? I need to do a Google search.
Hang on. I have to ask ChatGPT, where do I cut?
Nurse, can you please open Chrome in incognito mode? I need to search where is brain?
How is brain?
Yes. How to brain surgery. Why? Hold on. I'm looking at the search history here and it says, what is a colon? I think that's a different kind of doctor.
That's when you flee. You've been discovered.
Time to go to the GI wing of the hospital and see if I can do a better job. I mean, realistically, that's what's happened here. Morgan has managed to get a job, which happens occasionally, that Morgan is not qualified to do. And it's a frustrating, stressful, and sad situation for everyone. And it's actually kind of amazing how much grace our soft skills engineering listener is giving to Morgan. I mean, this is like extreme. And the reason I say it's extreme is, listen to this last sentence. Even with all these issues, I would be fine. But it's the stunned mullet that I can't handle. I'm like, oh boy. Wait, is this another example of British humor that I didn't get?
Like a stunned, I'm Googling this. It's a fish? What? Is a mullet a kind of fish?
It is. Oh.
It's a fish, and the fish looks very dumb, I'll have to say. This is not an intelligent looking fish.
It's like mouth breathing with eyes wide, big huge eyes, like woo.
Yeah. What a dumb fish.
Oh man. A stunned mullet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's clear then the solution is to make them not know how to do their job, but just calmly and serenely acknowledge it instead of act like a stunned mullet. And then it'd be fine.
Right. It's right? Like, I still don't know what a colon is, but at least I don't have my mouth hanging open.
But I'm confident about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's another answer here besides give feedback that this is not working out. And really, this is a month when the concerns are this severe feels like enough time. I know there's always this concern of like, well, maybe they're still onboarding and maybe it's not fair to them. I mean, you're not making the decision to fire this person. You don't know exactly what's going to happen here. But I think a month is enough time as the person directly responsible for helping kind of get them up to speed to say, hey, they are not. I am not getting them up to speed. It is failing miserably. Please, please help because it's not working out for me.
Yep. And if I were in your shoes, actually, let me put it this way. If I was in your manager's shoes, and you copied and pasted this question word for word and gave it to me to read, I would go, okay, it's time to move. And yeah. It would be my duty to talk to Morgan, figure out what's going on, because I always want to give them the benefit of the doubt at first, and I never want to rule out the possibility that something terrible has happened in Morgan's life. That is making an otherwise capable and competent software engineer become more of a, let's just say, stunned mullet variety engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And but that's very unlikely to be the case here. It does happen once in a rare while, and then it would probably take another month before Morgan is going to be let go. So, I mean, that's one thing you have to come to terms with, is that you are going to result in the termination of this person if you share this direct information with your manager.
But again, you must be cold and callous like Jameson. Just think that to yourself. I mean, just think of the other people that you're trying to help onboard as well. If all of your time is going into Morgan for a little return, they're probably missing out on a lot where you could, if you took all of the time you spent with them and divided it up among the other folks who seem to be doing better, or at least not poorly enough to be worthy of a question, then I feel like that'd be a lot more effective for the company. Not just for your own satisfaction and sanity. I don't know. I think we've answered this question. Have we answered it?
I think the answer is cold and simple. This person has a job they aren't qualified to do, and they need to be terminated. Not because it's our job to make sure that our capitalist free market destroys everyone who's not fully capable, but because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time for themselves. And I'm sure it feels awful, and they need to go find something they can be productive at. And the company eventually is going to figure this out, and the longer you let it wait, the worse it's going to be for them and for their teammates who have to put up with them. And then you get culture problems. And a culture problem, like in this case, the culture problem is people get a belief from experiencing interacting with Morgan that this company, your performance doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want and you're still going to get paid. You're still going to get rewarded. That's not a cultural belief you want to be circulating in your population, because it'll make for a really crappy environment to work in. So it's going to happen. It's got to happen. And the sooner it happens, the better. That's cold. That's the cold, hard truth in this case.
All right. We've done it. We've answered the question.
Hey, Jameson, we've been talking about this podcast from Red Hat called Compiler. I guess people might think we're kind of obsessed with it. And we are. What do you want to tell people about it today?
I want to tell them about a new episode I just listened to from Compiler called Warning Signs, which is about some red flags or disasters or bad things that have happened in people's careers, which in some ways is the subject of this show. So it felt like it was very synergistic. I don't know. There's something about hearing like a good prod is destroyed story that warms my heart.
You particularly like those.
I love them. Yeah. And the Compiler is good at storytelling about engineering. I think that's one of my favorite things about it.
Yeah. And let's not miss this opportunity to say how much better they are than us at production quality.
If we keep saying it, then it becomes like a we're doing bad production ironically.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, no, we know it's bad, and we choose to because we're cool. I think that's how it works.
Right. But seriously, if you want to listen to a podcast about software development from people who actually know what they're doing and sound great and tell good stories, Red Hat Compiler is the podcast for you.
Yep. Go check it out. Should I read our next question, Dave?
Please do.
This is from a listener named Confused Cat, who asks, I just spent over 4 years on a team where technical growth was lacking. Recently, I transitioned to a new team within the same company, and I'm enjoying the atmosphere, the team dynamics, and the opportunity to engage in more challenging software development tasks. Fortunately, my motivation is beginning to resurface. However, I've noticed that my technical skills have become somewhat rusty. While I can still deliver systems and features, I feel like I'm falling behind compared to some of my peers. This self-awareness is causing me to doubt myself, despite receiving no negative feedback from my current team or supervisor. It's not just imposter syndrome. I genuinely feel the need to upskill. How can I navigate this situation effectively? What strategies would you suggest for advancing my skills while holding a senior position and preventing feelings of inadequacy from affecting my performance?
Aha. Uh-huh. Confused cat. Let's start with number one. You are actually not a cat. I can tell because you typed this, and I've seen cat typing, and it looks nothing like this.
It would be unfathomably unlikely that a cat walking across the keyboard would type this question.
We could calculate the odds.
But not impossible.
Not impossible. It's just the chances would be one in a very large number. I'm guessing at least 100 digits.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say at least 100.
One in 100.
You'd have to have the cat walk across the keyboard at least 100 times.
To get these three paragraphs.
Yeah. There's also a bit of a theme here where our last question mentioned a confused or stunned mullet, and now we got a cat, and cats sometimes eat fish, so maybe there's something going on here, some kind of theme in the questions.
Look, if ever you doubted that the universe wanted this podcast to exist, all you have to do is look at these random connections, seemingly random connections between the questions we put on the screen or in the show, and it'll just tell you this podcast was meant to be. 400 episodes.
Yes.
Every single one has a hidden secret theme woven through the show.
Go back and check. You'll find it. I promise. As long as you assume it's there, you'll find it.
You'll find it. I recommend harnessing your confirmation bias. That's actually a powerful technique to find patterns.
Yeah. It turns out you're great at finding patterns. Yes. So get to it. It feels good to do stuff you're good at.
Yeah. Oh, Jameson, you're in great form today. This is the best birthday present ever. Okay. you know, we said some kind of harsh words in our last question, and I'm gonna double down. I want to say harsh words here too. Maybe I shouldn't even say this. I hear a lot of people that write into the show with questions, and I am really not good at identifying themes. But a lot of once in a while, how do I even say this? See, I'm getting all nervous even addressing this, but I'm basically going to tell someone to stop worrying about your feelings so much. Because that's what's happening here is that at least one of the, there's a couple things going on here, but one of them is...
Dave, can I give you some advice about how you're feeling and how to deliver this more effectively?
Yes, please.
Just stop worrying about your feelings and say it.
Oh, you made me cough. I'm coughing up blood now. Whew. Okay, not really. Okay, I am going to stop worrying about my feelings and just say it.
Okay.
I feel like I'm falling behind. This self-awareness is causing me to doubt myself. Despite receiving no negative feedback from my current team or supervisor, I genuinely feel the need, in this case, to upskill. Now, that's great. You want to upskill? Fantastic. Lean into that. But I think a lot of people worry just a little bit too much about their feelings and not enough about get the job done. Get to work, get the job done, do your best work, and don't worry about that there's this little part of your brain. I don't even know what part it's called because as we established in the last question, I am not a brain surgeon. But it creates thoughts that are just garbage. And I actually had a boss tell me this about 10 years ago. I was really worrying about a particular team member on my team, and I talked to my CTO about it. And it got to a point where, actually, I'll tell you the story in the proper order. I didn't talk to my CTO yet. I got to the point where I was so worried that I actually woke up one night at 3 a.m. and I was just running, my mind was running in circles about how nervous I was about this situation. And so then the next day I sat down with my CTO and I said, this is so bothersome. I feel so strongly about this that I even woke up at 3 a.m. and just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I'm just nervous, nervous, nervous. And my CTO looks back at me and goes, you probably shouldn't trust the feelings you have at 3 a.m. And 10 years later, I just want to say thank you to that CTO. You know who you are. You're right. A lot of our feelings are actual, just, they're not accurate representations of reality. And in this very question here, we have some facts. No negative feedback. Great. You want to quickly kill those feelings? Go and ask your team for feedback. Hey, what feedback do you have for me on my job performance? How am I doing in my first few months on the job? Go ask your boss. Hey, how am I doing? Don't even couch it in the negative. Like, hey, what's my areas for improvement? Just go and say, what's your honest take on how I'm doing? Am I doing well? And they'll mm-hmm. tell you, yeah, great. Take that at face value and tell those feelings to stuff them deep down inside your body where they belong, never to surface again, like Unikitty taught us on the Lego movie.
Yes. Yeah. That's an interesting direction to go. I was thinking, I remember you told a story on this podcast once, I think, about when you started riding bikes with a group that had been riding a lot, and you'd been riding a bunch before on your own, and then suddenly they were like, hey, let's go ride 100 miles. Mm-hmm. And you realized, oh, you can ride 100 miles. I guess you can, huh? And this feels similar, where you have been on a team where either deliberately or inadvertently, you've not been pushed to do much. Mm-hmm. You've been kind of relaxing. And then you join this team that is not relaxing. And it is a change of pace. So I think it's unsurprising that it takes you a second to adjust to it. I don't think it means you are incapable of it, though. But 4 years is a long time. I mean, that's longer than many people have stayed at their longest job ever. Yeah. So that's a long time to get used to a pace and a style. And the good thing is you have a lot of examples around you to learn. Mm-hmm. And if you are genuinely worried about not just what people think about your performance, but your kind of absolute output relative to other people, it sounds like you've got folks you can look at and see, how much do they do? How do they do it? How can I be more like them? And if the answer is just like, put more reps in, that might be it. You just have to ride more miles so that you can then ride more miles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree with you, Dave, though, that the feelings of like, I'm not good enough are not healthy, but I want to be better is a healthy feeling, I think, or it can be.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, it can be, right? Any feeling taken too far, it's a bad feeling.
Yeah. But
including this one.
I think whatever feeling you're having right now,
right.
Stop it, because it's getting too close to the limit. Self-awareness is causing me to doubt myself. Yeah. I think I'm thinking back to some time I worked at a megacorp with some great people. And I think I did this explicitly. I was like, whoa, you can solve a problem that way? Holy cow. And then I kind of sat down and thought about it and absorbed their power and took it for my own. Actually not. I think I developed a very poor approximation of a skill that they had shown. But it was I didn't know you could do that until I saw them do it. So I think you could look at it that way too. Like you're with a group that can help you level up, and that's an envious place to be. A lot of people want to be, you hear about like, don't be the smartest person in the room. And you might be the smartest person in the room, but you're feeling like you are not the most effective engineer in the room. That means if you just absorb what people around you are doing, you'll get better.
Yeah, you will. And one of the beauties of working on a team that you describe like this, which is, I'm assuming, challenging software development tasks, good team dynamics, opportunity to engage, good atmosphere, like you're going to improve. And that's actually the wonderful thing is you're sitting here telling yourself, oh, I need to improve. I need to do better. But you know what? You've already done the work of putting yourself in an environment where you're going to improve. And that's one of the things I like the most about, I guess it's one of my favorite life hacks, is that if you want to improve in something, sure, you can put in the reps like you were saying, Jameson. And this requires discipline. You can say like, I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to work out, or I'm going to do a elite code problem every night before bed. Or you can surround yourself by people who automatically improve your skills by being exposed to what it looks like. Like you were saying on the bike ride thing, You know, it's like, I didn't wake up and say, well, I'm going to do 1 mile, then the next day I'm going to do 2 miles, and the next day, I didn't even make a plan. I just said, I'm going to go hang out with those guys. That was my one decision. And then all the other things just happened automatically to me.
Oh, blood doping. Okay, okay. I got it. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're trying to be encouraging because it sounds like you need some encouragement.
I think so.
So accept this encouragement. Here, I've given you it. Please take it. Have we answered the question?
I think so. Good luck. I think you're going to be great. So I think the direct question was, what strategies would you suggest for advancing my skills while preventing feelings of inadequacy? And I think the strategy is, stop putting so much emphasis on your feelings and start putting emphasis on doing good work and getting good outcomes and getting results and being valuable. And then also, you've already implemented a strategy to advance your skills, which is you've surrounded yourself with awesome people at work who are going to naturally upskill you, which I think is cool.
Yeah. Cool. Dave, what can people do if they would like their own questions answered?
Well, if you've been having feelings lately of wanting to get a question answered, you should pay attention to those feelings.
Yeah, those ones are good.
And go to softskills.audio and click the Ask a Question button where you can fill out our form. And this is the part in the show where I say to everyone, thank you. Thank you for filling out that question form every week. We love it. The questions just keep rolling in. Every week I wake up to record this show and I look at the question sheet and I think, no one's going to write in. And then, to my surprise, every week a bunch of people write in with questions. So thank you. Thank you for doing that.
You should all wish Dave a belated happy birthday, too.
Yeah, it won't even be belated. I mean, today is literally... birthdays. Today that this episode
that's
airs
true. If
is,
you listen on the day it airs,
it's
yeah.
my birthday. Fair and what enough. Other day would you listen on?
And if you... Well, I was about to say, if you're catching up, if it's 4 years later, still wish him a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Because it was his birthday when this came out. So it'll still work. All right. Thank you for listening. We will catch you next week.